Unscripted.
Each episode is available to view on YouTube, so be sure to check us out.
You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
And I realized that I wasn't just a nameless kid on the street. He knew who Levi was. And that he sent his son to die for Levi.
Hey guys, welcome back to Saints Unscripted today. We're here with our friend Levi. We are so stoked to talk to you about your story. We're also here with Jackson. I'm Caitlin. If you can't remember our names, there are a few hosts, so Jackson, Caitlin, Levi. Anyway, tell us about yourself. We just want to hear your background, where you're from, and how this story starts.
Yeah, I'm originally from New York, Queens. I got into a lot of trouble growing up, and so my parents were like, hey, let's move to Boston for better schools.
Okay.
But honestly, moving from Queens, New York to Boston, Massachusetts is like moving from Provo to Orem. Nothing okay. really changes.
Help of my brainy sister, Eliza.
Okay.
Except now I lived in New York, and I mean, now I lived in Boston, and I was a Yankees fan, not a Red Sox fan.
Yeah, that's what's up.
The biggest difference.
That's like
I don't know anything about the East Coast. So
the equivalent of that is growing up in Provo, being a BYU fan, and then living in Salt Lake the rest of your life, surrounded by Utes. So that's the equivalent.
Oh, I see.
But the Red Sox are way worse than
okay,
Utes.
Okay, thank you for explaining
worse.
That in terms I would understand. No, yeah, cool. So then you were living in Boston for, the rest.
Yep, grew up in Boston, went to high school there. Came from a very religious background. My grandmother was Southern Baptist. My mother was Protestant. My father was Catholic.
Oh, wow.
I had friends who were Muslim, Jewish, Hindu, a lot of different religions growing up. And
that's kind of cool.
It is. And I remember it was always something I'm like, oh, I hope my kids get to have this chance. But now we live in Provo. So they get to learn a lot from me.
No hate on Provo, but it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. But it got to a point, I was 17, I was 16, and I remember one night, I was a little bit inebriated, and back in the day, there was never anything always on, and so late at night, they'd always show these weird infomercials.
Okay, I'm old enough to remember this.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if you are, though.
Yeah.
It
was a great time. I was watching this infomercial about hell. All I remember is it talked about hell and how it's a terrible place and how all bad people are going to go there. But yeah, it was, it scared me. Like, growing up in inner city, you learn to gain a tough skin. And from a young age, I had a tough skin, but for some reason, it terrified me. And I was like, man, I'm going to hell. And then I kind of let it sit with me, and I was like, I don't want to go to hell. Like, it sounds terrible. And so before I went to sleep that night, I was like, well, if there is a God, because again, I had friends with many different religions. I was like, if there is, send one to me. I'm too lazy to go look. You know, and I remember I fell asleep and woke up Saturday morning, you know, to my brother playing video games really loud. He was playing Street Fighter at the time.
Nice.
And woke up, went, got something to eat, and then there was a knock at the door. And, you know, I was like, who's knocking? Like, and it sounded like it was the police, you know. It was early in the morning. It was that, you know, that police knock. And it's like, well, we're all here, so I know none of us did anything. So I go to the door, and I open it up, and standing right there, Jehovah's Witnesses. And they were like, hey, we want to talk to you about your soul.
And you're like,
okay.
I was like, well, I guess prayers do get answered. So I let them in. And I studied with them for about a year.
Wow.
However, there were certain things. My grandmother, she raised me believing in Jesus Christ. And, you know, a lot of what I believed in, I got from her.
Okay.
And they kept saying, you need to come to church. You need to come to our church. And I was like, I don't want to. My grandmother says, as long as you have Jesus in your heart, you don't need to go to a building. So finally, after a year of them telling me, you need to come, you need to come, you need to come. And I'm saying, no, just keep coming to my house. Just keep coming to my house. They scheduled a meeting. And I remember my normal teacher showed up. And he brought three other guys with him. And I was just like, what's up?
He was like older gentlemen?
Yeah, they're, I mean, you know, by this time, you know, I'm 17. And they're old. They're probably in their 40s.
Okay.
You know, and they come and they were like, well, we need to have a meeting with you. And I was like, well, what's up?
And they were, serious?
Yeah, I'm like.
Well, men in black arriving at the door.
Yeah. I'm like, what's going on? And, you know, you guys know the parable of the sower and the seeds. And, mm-hmm. you know, some seeds land on good soil. And and they started talking to me about that. And they were like, we believe you are a bad seed. We believe you've fallen into the rocky ground.
Oh, my gosh.
You will not grow. So, therefore, we are cutting ties. We do not think you can be saved. And I was just
oh,
like,
my God.
Yeah.
Missionaries, yeah. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that.
That's not how you do
that
missionary
That is not.
Work.
Don't ever, for any reason, do anything to anyone, for any reason, ever, no matter what.
And I remember so I was like, what? Oh. And my mother, she was in the room and she heard it. And I heard her bed squeak, which means she was getting up.
Mama Bear was coming.
And she came and she was like, what did you say to my son? And they were like, well, we're being honest. You know, he is not, he won't be saved. And I remember my mom was like, get out the house now or I'm going to, well, let's just say that I'll end up in jail tonight, you know? And so she kicked him out. And I was kind of taken back, and I'm sitting there, and she looks at me, and she's like, son, you know they're wrong. You know God loves you. And I was like, I don't know anymore. Like
wasn't that the point. Supposed to be your answer? So yeah, you probably yeah. felt really
It was supposed
conflicted.
To be, like, I prayed, or I said God send me something. They knocked on my door, and now they're saying, you know, there's no hope.
Yeah, what does that say about you?
Yes.
When you're a kid at the time.
And so I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna live my life. I'm going to do what I do. And I went into my room and, you know, went, go hang out with my friends and my mother being, once again, she was Protestant, very religious. And so she was sitting there wondering what to do to help her son. And while she was sitting there, this commercial came on for a free Bible. She read the King James Version. My grandmother, who was my religious guide, read the King James. And so in her mind, perfect, I'll get him a King James Version of the Bible. She calls, she orders it, it's free, which is even better. However, she talks to these gentlemen and say, hey, we're going to send some elders with it. And she's like, okay. And according to my mom, in a Protestant religion, elders, and I could be wrong, if I am, don't at me. I was 17 and I'm going off what my mom says. But she said, elders are widowed men whose wives have died. And so what they do is they go and they talk about the gospel.
Huh.
So I'm thinking like 60, 80 year old men.
Well, it is kind of funny. I always thought it was funny that they call these like 19 year olds elders. Like,
yeah, no, it,
yeah, because in
me,
any other religion,
it was
sounds
a shock.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And so my mother comes to my brother and I, and, you know, we're about to go hang out with some friends one night. And she goes, hey, I have a surprise. And we're like, what is it? She's like, I need you boys home by 8 o'clock. Now, the rule with my mother, she was very, you guys can hang out as long as you want, as long as you call and notify me. And so me and my brother, we'd hang out till midnight, one, as long as we called my dukes and was like, hey, I'm over here or I'm over here. She didn't care how long we stayed out. Especially during the weekends. And so she's never asked us to come home early on a Saturday. And
so it's a big deal.
Yeah, I'm sitting there like, what? And she's like, can you boys be here by 8? And we're like, no. And she's like, I don't ask for a lot. She goes, I really need you home by 8. Please promise me you will be home by 8. Now, my mother knew that if me and my brother made a promise to her, because we would keep it. If we said, mom, we promise. Like, we've never lied to our mother. It was, I mean, for a long time, it was just us. It was her and me and my brother and I. And so she was like, I need you to promise. But me and my brother, we found a way around it. We wouldn't say, I promise. We just said, okay. Being little smart aleck kids, it's like, well, we didn't say we promised. We just said, okay. Because we knew she wouldn't let us leave.
Yeah.
So we go, I go hang out with my boys. He's hanging out with his boys. And about 8:30, I started getting this feeling. Now that I'm a member of the church, I know it was a spirit. But back then, punk kid on the street, I'm just like, something's off. My spider senses are tingling, you know? But I didn't know what it was. And it was this feeling of, you need to go home. And I was just like, I'm not going home. It's only 8:30, you know? Kicking it with my girl, my boys, like, I'm not going home. 9 o'clock rolls around. I get a feeling, you need to go home. I was like, I'm not going home. I'm having a good time. Finally, about 9:30, it is just pounding. And go home, go home, go home. Go. So I was like, fine. I looked at my friends and said, hey, I got a dip. And they were like, dude, it's like 9:30. Where are you going? And I'm still young. I was like, I got to go home. I think I got something telling me to go home. And, you know, so they're like, all right. And so as I'm leaving, one of them, you know, we start talking about God. And one of my friends like, there isn't a God. Like, look at how we live. Like, why are we stuck in the inner city when there are people out there who live much better lives than we do? So there can't be a God. And that I felt odd because my friends, we've never talked about God. It was just always one of those things when one of us passed, we go to a funeral and it was like, cool, we'll come, we'll pray, we'll do all the things that our parents expected us to do, but that's it. So I found it odd that we were talking about God. Then when I get home, I get home about 9:45, 10 o'clock. I open the door, sitting on the couch, two white guys in suits.
They were still there? Did they come at 8?
So,
that's a
funny story.
On the edge of my seat here.
My first thought was, uh-oh, it's the police.
Again.
My brother got caught. Like, because, I mean, we were kids of the 90s, I will put it that way. Growing up in the inner city.
90s.
Best time. The music was great, everything. But, so I'm thinking like, okay, these are detectives because I see a badge, but I don't really see what's on them. I'm like, what's going on? And my mother's sitting there, my brother's sitting there, and I'm like, what happened? I'm looking at my brother like,
what you do?
If you need an alibi, yo, he was with me all week, like whatever. And my mom, she looks at me and she goes, oh, we were just talking about you, like, and she's like, these are the elders. And I looked at them, I was like, they don't look 70 years old. Like, you know, they're two white guys in suits, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, weren't you guys supposed to be here at 8 o'clock? And my two elders, because they're mine, we all have my two elders, Morgan and Bingham, you know, Bingham's like, we got lost. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, it's weird. He's like, I've been in this area for so long, but we got lost. And I'm like, well, then how'd you find us? And he said, oh, your brother. And I looked at my brother, Omar, and I'm like, hey, what's good? What happened? And he was like, yo, I was hanging out, and I got this feeling I need to go home. So I got on the bus. And when I got on the bus, these two white guys hopped on the bus. And he's like, and right away in my head, it was like, they're going to talk to you. It's okay. And my brother, he's the type of person that if you ever met him, he's friendly with everyone. He's going to make you laugh. He just loves making friends. And so one of them sits beside him and the other sits in front of him. And they're like, we're lost. Can you help us? And he's like, sure. What do you need help with? They're like, we're looking for, and they pull out their thing. We're trying to get the Blake Street, 130 Blake Street, and we're looking for Levi and Omar Antoine. And my brother just laughs and he goes, well, I'm Omar Antoine. Nice to meet you. And they're just like, great, take us home, you know? And it's, now that I've been a member and I've served the mission, I realized that they were way out past they were supposed to be doing. Because, you know, they walked in 10 minutes before I did. And so Omar's like, so I was like, okay. So he brought them to our house and, you know, they walked in and they were like, hey, sorry we're late. They explained it to my mom and my mom's like, no problem. You know, and she's like, don't worry, my sons, they lied to me. They weren't going to be here at 8. And I remember we're like, we never said we never promised. We just said, okay. But they were there, and the missionaries were like, do you mind if we share a message with you? They gave me the King James Version, and they were like, here's the King James Version of the Bible. I'm like, why? And my mom's like, I want you to continue. Like, don't listen to what those men said. I need you to read this and understand it. And I was just like, okay. And she goes, no, I want you to say you promise this time. So I promise I'll read King James. And the missionary was like, we also have another book we'd like to share. And I was like, okay. And I remember they pulled out this little thing, and it had a picture of Jesus Christ. And my mom's like, I don't believe in images of the Savior. She's like, and this isn't really for me. It's for my boys. I have my religion. And she got up and she left. And for those who knew my mom, she wasn't just going to leave her kids with strangers, but
she was comfortable.
She was comfortable. And I remember talking to her years after, and she was like, yeah, everything felt peaceful. And I was like, okay, my kids are in good hands. And she left.
Yeah.
And they were like, have you heard the Book of Mormon? And me and my brother were like, yeah, we've seen those commercials between Saturday morning cartoons. Yeah.
Like actual commercials of the Book of Mormon?
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Yeah, this was back in the day where they had, you know.
I don't think I ever saw
them. They were all on YouTube.
Yeah. At the end, they'd be like, brought to you by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. Now we don't call ourselves that anymore, but it used to be the Mormons. And I remember thinking like, oh, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I always thought it was like the Cancer Association of America. It was just a bunch of churches.
Yeah.
They got together and was like, hey, let's put out these really wholesome commercials.
Yeah.
But they started talking to us about the Book of Mormon. And, you know, they were like, do you believe in prophets? And, yeah, we know there were prophets in the old days. And one of them was like, what would you do if there was a prophet on the earth today? And I was like, well, I mean, there isn't. And he's like, well, what if we told you there was? And I was like, then I want to know why he's not telling everybody. You know, usually the prophets are, and they were like, well, let us tell you about a young man named Joseph Smith. And they told us the story of Joseph. And me and my brother were sitting on the edge of our seats when they're done. And we're just like, and right away I'm like, and he's still alive?
The secret of immortality.
And they're like, no, he isn't. And they were like, but he was given answers, and it led to him, you know, getting the golden plates and translating the Book of Mormon. And we're just sitting there, and we're just like, oh my goodness, why aren't you guys telling people? And they're like, this is why we're serving missions. And I'm like, I have never seen you in this neighborhood a day in my life. You know, like, trust me, in my neighborhood, two white guys walking down the street, it would be noticed. I've never seen. And he's like, I walk this neighborhood like every week. I'm like, no, you don't, unless you sneak through. But I remember them sharing this with us, and it was just mind-altering. It's like, wait a minute, there's a prophet on the earth today. I was like, what's his name? And they were like, Gordon B. Hinckley. And I was like, cool. Can I talk to him? And they were like, well,
yes, but.
And they were like, well, actually, we'd love to have you guys come to church and meet some of the other members. And we were like, no. Like, we already have. I was like, listen, my grandmother taught me to worship the Lord. You don't need to go to a building. And they were like, yes, but to grow stronger, you know, we'd love to invite you guys. And, you know, we were like, we're not really down with that. They were like, well, can we leave you a book, Books of Mormons, and have you read them? And I was like, absolutely. I want to read this. Like, you know, because I remember there are sheep that are not of this fold. And I'm like, holy, this is the most, if it's true, it's the most important thing. And they were like, well, do you guys believe it? And this is when I found out that missionary work is a lot harder than it was for me, because I was just, me and my brother, we were like, yes, 100%. Like, this is true. Yes. Like,
man,
yes.
I just love that.
Yes!
They gave us, you know, Third Nephi to read. And I remember when they left, my brother and I, we were just like, Omar's like, did you know this was going to happen? I was like, no, I have no idea. And before they left, they prayed with us, and they were like, do you boys know how to pray? And we're like, yeah, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be that. They're like, no, we pray from the heart. And you start with Heavenly Father. And they taught us the steps of prayer. And I was just like, oh, it's like a conversation. Because once again, I grew up, my dad, you know, growing up, it was like, yes, my mom was Protestant, but my dad was Catholic.
And so you knew the Lord's Prayer.
I knew the Lord's Prayer. You know, I spent a lot of time in Catholic churches. I knew all the different prayers. And, you know, it was, hey, we're going to show you how to pray for yourself. And I remember reading, you know, me and my brother, we go into our room and, you know, one of the missionaries, I remember Eddie's like, hey, before I leave, I need you to promise. And we were like, oh, man. He was like, promise you will do this. And we were like, okay, well, we promise. We will read it and we will pray about it. And he's like, can we come by, you know, the following day was going to be Sunday. He's like, can we come by Sunday? And we were like, absolutely. We'll tell you what we think. And I remember sitting in our room and, you know, I was in a den and I was reading through it and it was blowing my mind. It was just like, this is, like, how do a lot of people not know about this? And I, you know, later that night we were preparing for bed and I know my brother had read it. And so, you know, we do that awkward thing of growing up in inner city, you hate looking weak. It's like, I ain't getting on my knees for nobody, man. Like, come on now. You're going to have me get on my knees? But then I was like, let me get on my knees. And so I'm kneeling, my brother's kneeling, and, you know, we're kind of whispering to ourselves. And then I started to hear him sniffle. And then I started to sniffle. And then just full-blown tears. And I look over at my brother, and he looks at me, and he was like, we're in trouble. I was like, we are. Missionaries come back the next day. This was back in the day where they had lessons. So they're teaching us lessons and they get to baptism. And they were like, so we'd like to invite you boys to be baptized. You know, and we're just like, oh, we don't have to. And they were like, excuse me. I was like, oh, I've been baptized. And my brother's like, yeah, we've been baptized. Like, you only need to be baptized once. And they were like, well, we don't, you know, it's really important. And I was like, hold on. I called, and I remember Eddie, he was always straightforward. He's like, listen, if you don't get baptized, you're going to go to hell. And right away it clicked
to
that.
Wait, he said that? Oh yeah. My gosh.
And it clicked to the commercial I watched when I was inebriated, and I was just like, oh no, he said hell. I don't want to go to hell. And so I remember I called my mom in, because she'd ordered Chinese food for the missionaries and us. And I was like, hey mom. She goes, yeah. I was like, we've been baptized, right? And she sat there and she's like, huh? And I was like, what do you mean, huh? She goes, it's funny. I remember your dad wanted to get you baptized as Catholics, but I was against it. And then when I wanted to get you baptized as Protestants, your grandmother was against it. But then she wanted to get you guys baptized as Baptists, but it's just never happened. And we were like, what do you mean it's never happened? Like, we are a religious family. And they were like, she's like, it never happened. So right away, we look at him like, we will be baptized.
like, yes.
Yes.
Dunk us.
Yes. We will be baptized. And whenever I try to tell people the feeling that was in that room, two boys who, you know, I'll be honest, I thought God didn't know who I was. I was just another kid living in the inner city. But when I knelt down and asked if he knew who I was, the answer was yes. Am I his son? Yes. Does he love me? Yes. Is the Book of Mormon the Word of God? Yes. I couldn't deny it. I remember we were telling our mom that, hey, we want to join this church. My mom was ecstatic. She was like, oh, my babies have found, you know, a religion. That's great. My dad, on the other hand, he was like, oh, I've heard about, you know, my mom was happy. My stepdad was happy. My dad, he was a little bit hesitant. He's like, I hear they kidnap kids and take them to Europe. And I was thinking like, that'd be awesome.
Yes. That's awesome.
I'd love to go.
Take me to Europe.
Yeah. He's like, I heard they kidnap kids and they send them to Europe for 2 years. I don't know what they're doing. I'm just like,
oh, I see. Like,
I got kidnapped to South America.
Well, yeah.
Great. Best kidnapping ever.
Well, it's funny because I was just talking to someone who lives in Ireland, and she said that the rumor there is that there's like a tunnel to Salt Lake and they get kidnapped and taken to Salt Lake.
They're not supposed to tell him. Frick, man. Prince is so mad.
But I remember thinking like, me and my brother's like, dude, we'd love to go to Europe. That'd be awesome. Like, all we've ever known is the inner city. Like, go to Europe for 2 years?
Did you serve in Europe? Or did
no,
you
no.
That would have been even better.
That would have been even better. No, I served in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Greatest mission.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
But, you know, it was, you know, my dad was really against it. And, you know, it got to a point where me and my brother, we were very obedient to our dad. And it was like, he's taught us a lot, but it got to the point where it's like, we can't deny this. I remember sitting with my dad, like, I can't deny this. We're getting baptized, and you can be upset, you can be happy, you can come, but this is what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. Were you 18 at the time?
Nope, I was still 17.
Okay. How old was your brother?
He was 15.
Okay.
So just you and Omar.
Yep, just me and Omar. We joined the church. And it's funny because when we finally went to go visit the church, it was to play basketball. They were like, dude, they're like, fine, just come play basketball with us.
So I'm like, okay, let's go.
Okay. So we show up at the church, and in the city of Boston, if you live in Boston, there are like 10 different high schools you can choose to go to. Okay. You don't have to go to, and so I went to one high school, my brother went to another, so we can play each other in football because we were competitive. But I remember we walked in to play basketball, and there were like, there are like two guys from my football team there. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What do you got? Did they get you too? And they were like, they were just like, no, we're members of this church. And I'm just like, I remember talking to one. I said, how come you never told me? He's like, you're pretty scary in school. And I wasn't going to come up and be like, hey, would you like to hear about my church? And I was just like, okay, that's true. But then there were like four guys from my brother's high school. And he's like, we're like, he's like, you guys never told me. And they were just like, again, the Antoine boys can be pretty intimidating, so we don't, you know. And I remember we were just like, okay. And we started going to church every Sunday. And, you know, we didn't have suits or ties, but we wore a white shirt with some jeans and some Tims and a tie. And when it came up to my baptism, I remember, funny story, side note. So my baptisms came around. They were like, we don't have clothes big enough for you, Levi. Like, we can't baptize you today. And my mom was like, no, the heck you ain't.
Like we're going to make some.
She went to a store, bought a huge white sheet.
Oh, she actually did.
Came back. And she's like, we're doing it toga style. And I remember I was so embarrassed. I'm like, I'm not putting on, mom, I'm not going to get in. Like, and I remember Morgan, he looked at me, he goes, dude, Jesus got baptized in a toga, old school. And I was just like,
bet.
Let's do it. So I'm sitting there, and my mom figures out how to wrap this thing around me like a toga. And I remember sitting there, about to be baptized. I had some of my friends there, and they're just like, yo, Big is crazy. Like, what's going on? Like, he's become, and you know, I go down, I come up, and my life was changed. It's just, when you think of where I should be right now, I should be the debtor in jail, but I'm not. I came out, got a great education at BYU, met my eternal spouse here, served a great mission of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. But while I was at BYU my freshman year, my mother joined the church.
Nice. Oh,
really? But they didn't tell me until she was baptized.
Mm.
And I remember my brother called me up once.
No way.
Saturday, he goes, hey, guess what I just did? I was like, what? He goes, I baptized mom. And I was like, stop lying. Click, hung up. You know, he called me back. He goes, no, I seriously did. And I was like, why didn't you tell me? And my mom's like, I wanted to be a surprise.
Oh.
I went into the MTC for my mission. While I was in MTC, my stepdad joined. My dad still hasn't joined yet. Because he says, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I tell him that he's going to join two ways, either while he's alive or I'll wait till you're dead.
Yeah.
When you're dead, I'll baptize you.
Is he kind of like okay with it now, like with you guys being members? And
he loves the church. He's seen the changes made in me and my brother. While I was on my mission, my brother passed away.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he was hit in a drive-by. He was protecting one of his friends, and he went to push his friend down, and while he was doing it, it hit him. Just put his mission papers in, and I always tell people whenever they say, oh, how does it feel? I'm like, well, he got his mission call. It's the spirit world.
Yeah, that's a good dang mission. A lot of cool companions over there.
A lot of cool companions. The only thing is they don't get P-days or dinner appointments.
That's so, yeah. It's canonized. They wish they could feel the having a body, man.
Exactly.
But
so I mean, that was a hard trial. I almost left the church. I almost went back to being old Levi because I was angry. And I always tell people, like, I'm never ashamed to say that I wanted to turn my back on the church. Because you don't mess with my family and just think you could walk away from that. But again, I prayed about it, and the feeling I felt in that room, I'd been to the temple. I go to the temple with my wife, but to this day, I have never felt my Heavenly Father's presence the way I felt it in that little small apartment in Florida. And so, you know, it was this church. When people say, tell us about this church, I'm like, I can talk about it all day because I shouldn't be here. I should not be where I'm at. The only reason I'm where I'm at is because I found my Savior. And I realized that I wasn't just a nameless kid on the street. He knew who Levi was. And that he sent his son to die for Levi. So
that's beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
You told that so. I was very captivated.
Yeah.
That entire time. That was a very, wow. So we heard there's a short film coming out that.
Yeah.
Where you get to share your story.
Yeah, it's called No Matter What.
No Matter What.
He goes, hey, I want to shoot a short film about your experience when you found out your brother passed away.
Whoa.
And coming home.
Whoa.
We just finished it. He's editing it and we'll probably put it in the Zion's Film Festival. It's such a short film. But
awesome.
It's when I tell
like
people
this year, 2023?
I think
like
so.
Okay.
I think so. But when I tell people that I left, like when I found out, I threw the badge off. In my mind, I was going home to kill the person that killed my brother. And it took my mom and my mission president to help me see that that's not who I am. At least that's not who I am anymore. Like the old Levi, no problem. But it was like, you know what the truth is. That's not you. And so he came down, we shot it. He's editing it. And yeah, we hope to get it out to the Zion's Film Festival. It's just a short film, but it was fun.
Levi, thank you so much. It has been such a pleasure to have you on our show today. We appreciate you sharing your story and your faith. And yeah.
Yeah.
We're really glad you're here.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you guys for watching. Please like, subscribe, leave a comment if you have questions for Levi. We get to have the most amazing people on this show, so you should give us a follow because, honestly,
yeah,
we're pretty lucky.
Pretty good. And if you're a Red Sox fan, I'm so sorry that you're a Red Sox fan. Argue with me in the comments below.
Argue in the comments. We need more arguments in the comments.
We need more hate comment videos.
Comments. No, we don't.
Oh, thank you, Levi.
Thanks for listening. If you want to watch our videos, check us out on YouTube or shoot us a message on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.